o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Nuggets get wrecked last night by Minnesota. Now they have to go to Minnesota. Minnesota thrilled just to, they would have been thrilled with the split. Now they do one better. They win the first two in Denver. Jamal Murray chucking stuff on the floor. Carl Anthony Towns like, I thought I saw something go on the floor, but I was more focused on making the layup, and so I didn't really give it a whole lot of thought. Oh. Just absolutely abysmal. What, 4 points last night for Joker and Murray in the first half? It's what, 23 in
the
game?
Not good.
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. So you have some reaction. Should Jamal Murray be suspended? I thought Michael Malone was going to get tossed last night. I'm still
uncertain how he didn't.
Yeah. And with Murray once, if not twice, throwing things on the floor. Come on, man. You got to be better than that. I understand. It's a frustrating game. They're physical with you. You have not shot the ball well at all. Even with the two game-winning shots against the Lakers, the 32 points in the closeout game, the Jamal Murray, even in that series, did not shoot the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, what, 16% last night? Something like that? It was
something super low, yeah.
And I get it that you're frustrated. They're being physical with you. You're not finding space. I understand your frustration.
Yeah, 16%.
But you can't react the way you did last night. You can't throw crap on the floor. You can't just kind of give up. Jokic at times, and I love Nikola Jokic, but there were times last night, there was deer in the headlights look. It was like, we don't know what this is like. We are not used to getting our butts handed to us.
This was a flashback to like the doughy Joker.
Yes.
Like the battling Yusef Nurkic to a draw Joker. Not the he might be named MVP again today Joker.
He looked very, very mortal. The Nuggets did not look like a defending NBA champion last night.
No, they didn't.
And give Tim Connelly credit. Built that Nuggets roster that won an NBA championship, and he's also built the roster that's going to potentially take them down.
Mm-hmm.
They have more scoring. They have more depth. They're more physical. They won without Rudy Gobert last night because they're two superstars. Anthony Edwards, and every time I say his name, I think of the actor from ER.
Yeah.
It was Goose, but also Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, and that too.
And Carl Anthony Towns. Towns absolutely destroyed Denver in the first half. He hit that 1-3, and he lines up, and hits it, and he looks at it, and goes, okay.
Yeah, with the little, all right.
Hey, how do you like that? It's pretty good,
look at me. Look how good I am.
Here's the thing, too. The altitude has not affected Minnesota at all. There are teams that come in, and the altitude gets to them for a couple games, kind of sluggish, and it might slow them down a little bit. Minnesota, it's like they've got oxygen tanks strapped on their backs. The altitude has not been a problem for them at all. And for guys that are now maybe...
Because they're not letting the Nuggets run and gun.
No, they're not. They're not letting Denver run. And they're getting out and running.
I mean, you don't really get to run off after a made basket in the first place. So then on top of that,
but they're
you're
last
being
night,
picked up at half court.
But there were times last night, though, where Nuggets would miss and miss and miss, and Minnesota was not afraid to push it up the floor.
No.
Got a couple texts, or at least one here, from Bry Guy. Last night was painful. I felt like I was watching Rocky III during the first Clubber Lang fight.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. They massacred our boys last night.
We're still waiting for a correct answer for Wrigley Field, Colorado sports trivia, by the way.
And we've had a couple guesses. Both are wrong. So here's the question. Avalanche get Dallas tonight. right here on the team. Second round of the Western Conference playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. How many times have the Avalanche beat Dallas in the playoffs? It's not regular season. How many times have the Avalanche defeated Dallas in the playoffs?
We have guesses of 13 and 14, and those are low.
Both incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Both low. So you can't have one low, one high.
No.
Because they're right next to each other.
They're right next door. Steven, the officiating was awful last night. Not why we lost, though. The Nuggets look tired and uninterested in playing. Jamal has been horrible since the playoffs started, and Joker just looks tired. Are we now seeing, at this point, which we shouldn't, but we are, apparently, maybe we are.
Three straight years of carrying this team?
Maybe that's too much for Nikola Jokic. Yeah, officiating was bad last night, but Steven, I'm glad you said that's not the reason they lost.
No. Minnesota had more fouls called in on them. The Nuggets shot more free throws.
Yeah. You don't get those numbers and say, well, that's the reason we lost, because that's not true. How about a little post Malone? Here's Michael Malone. This is basically saying we just got whacked last night.
They kicked our ass. So, yeah, it got away from us.
This team is well known by its ability to come back from 3-1 hole several times. Mm-hmm. So how optimistic are you to come back from this 2-0 hole?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. You know, the body language of our guys, you know, is not where I think it needs to be. But no, you know, we just got beat up in our building. We got embarrassed in front of our fans. The good thing is we don't play till Friday. We have a chance to kind of get away and think about what we want to do moving forward. And I'm not worried about anything other than trying to win game three and really just trying to win the first quarter of game three and build it from there, take it one quarter at a time. I think it was a 4-point game late in that first. They closed 4-0. Now we're down 8, and then they started off the second quarter 11-0. And that's when the game got away from us. Their physicality, our ability to get into our offense, get a shot off. We played in late clock situations all night long. So, yes, you have to give credit to them, but, you know, we didn't own our spots, and we didn't meet their aggression and physicality at the level that we needed to. So I'll have a much better idea on that question, you know, come Wednesday when we get back in the gym and get a feel for our players and where their energy is at. And my hope is that, yeah, we're down 2-0, not ideal, but it's a long series, first 1-4. Can we find a way to believe in each other, believe in ourselves, and win game three? That's all that matters.
Starts with, well, a lot of things. First off, Jamal Murray's got to shoot the ball better. He's got to have more of an impact offensively. Nikola Jokic has got to have more of an impact in the low post. KCP's got to be more of a factor offensively. Doesn't have to score 20. If I got 12 from him, I'd be okay with that.
Aaron Gordon was much better last night than he was in game one. As far as Jamal Murray, I don't know if Friday is enough rest to get whatever is ailing him right.
Physically and mentally.
Right. So, like, I mean, I know he's one of your key cogs. The first two games of this series show you can't rely on him to that extent right now. 35, almost 36 minutes is way too much for this Jamal Murray. Physically, mentally, this Jamal. And I know you run the risk of him checking out if you play him less. But if he can't set that ahead of his own personal stature, then maybe you don't need to have him at all.
Here's
right?
the question asked, though. Then who?
I don't know.
Then who fills that void? Because as good as Michael Porter Jr. played in the Lakers series, that hasn't been him in this series.
Yeah, I don't know who fills that void, but
because Aaron Gordon's not going to be that guy. Aaron Gordon,
no.
He has a, to quote Liam Neeson, a very
special set of skills.
Very specific set of skills of rebounding, defense. He hit some threes last night. He's not going to go out and score 29, 30 points every game. If you get 15 points, 9 rebounds from him, and really good defense, that's fantastic.
I don't know who it is, but, like, Jamal Murray's making the void bigger, not smaller.
True.
So, like, if it's a combination of Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon and KCP, like, just don't make it worse being out there. Like, Jamal Murray's making it worse.
There were times last night watching him because he couldn't get open to shoot threes. When he would get open, he couldn't hit the ocean from the shore. Then he'd try to attack the rim, and then Minnesota would swat it away and push it up the floor.
He looked like he was playing on a beach.
He looked slow.
Yeah.
He looked like indecisive.
That's the knee, the calf, whatever.
All of it. And Minnesota's been physical. Chris Finch, the mandate certainly was, we're going to go out and we're going to make it tough for him handling the basketball.
He's not on two healthy legs. Don't let him use one leg, right? That's what it feels like. It's like he's not moving as well as he could. Make it just a little tougher. And they're able to do that because they're stellar defensively.
And then you go to the bench where and Scott Hastings said this when he was on with us.
Mm-hmm.
His concern was about the bench. The bench is not the problem. It's part of the problem. Where Holiday had a good game last night. He had 13 points. Reggie Jackson scored 3. Normally, Peyton Watson's productive. Peyton Watson did not score last night. He got 2 rebounds. Their bench of Alexander and Reed, 14 points for Alexander, 6 rebounds. Reed, 14 points, 5 rebounds. Their bench was better last night. Those two guys give Chris Finch an incredible weapon, and Reed in particular, because Reed can play physically against Jokic at times in the low post. I was impressed what I saw from him. But then last night, when you think Anthony Edwards is going to go off for a huge game like he did in game one, still scored 27. That's not nothing, but you can't let Karl Anthony Towns go out and hit 3 threes and score 27 points. And he hit big threes in the first half when they got up in the Nuggets and just essentially put their foot on their throat in the first half. This game was over at halftime.
Edwards and Towns scored 54 points while hitting 4 three-pointers.
Yeah. And the thing about Towns, though, they were timely.
Oh, yeah?
They were going down after a Nuggets turnover to add to the lead. They were huge momentum.
They were big
builders.
Swing buckets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just continue to build the momentum. Where Denver's like, hey, let's go down and hold them to a 2. Towns gets open, drains a 3. They didn't need him to hit 10 threes. Because the way they're playing defense,
yeah.
Denver could not stop them. Denver could not stop either of those two guys.
You can't have KCP and KAT and NAD. You can't have 3 three-namers on the court at the same time. No. There has to be a rule against this as a play-by-play guy.
Agreed.
2 names at a time. Just pick one. You can have it on the back of your roster. That's fine. But pick an identifier. A Karl Anthony Towns to Nikhil Alexander Walker blocked by Kendrick Okolopope. Like, just pick. You can't have 3 name guys.
All right.
That was driving me nuts.
So it looks like we have a winner.
Yes, we do. We're waiting on it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
18 times the Avs have beaten the Stars. Not series wins. Wins, period. 18.
I know the name, by the way. So.
Oh, okay.
It's Josh DeWitt. Farmers Insurance.
Because he just said Mr. I don't know who that is.
Former Palisade Bulldog running back. Mesa running back. Josh DeWitt. One of our fine sponsors.
Exactly.
All right. So congratulations to him. Yeah, 18 times the Avalanche beat the Stars in the postseason. All right. So let's dive into around the NFL.
Set,
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, there's a few things to get to. First off, Chris Harris Jr., who just recently announced his retirement. He was on NFL Total Access, which you see where ESPN's buying the NFL Network.
I did not see that officially.
Yes, so that'll be interesting. So anyway, that Chris Harris Jr. was on NFL Total Access, and he thinks that Bo Nix might be the best quarterback prospect the Broncos have had since PFM.
You know, a lot of people have been talking bad about the pick because he's the sixth quarterback, you know, but I think Bo is a guy that has great experience being able to play in the SEC, in the Pac-12, and have success in both. So I'm excited about this kid. I think he's probably one of the best prospects that we've had since Peyton, you know, so I think Denver Broncos are definitely found their guy. I think Sean Payton is going to be able to implement the offense that he wants, having a guy in that pocket, being able to throw over the middle. And also, you can't forget, this guy is athletic, right? You can have called run plays for the quarterback, and he can make plays with it. So I love the first pick, and I love the draft, man. I love what the Broncos did. I think this is a great building stone, a building block for this team and to build on for the future.
All right, so that's Chris Harris Jr., who was on NFL Network.
Man, you mean to tell me that Bo Nix, you feel, is better than Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Brandon Allen, Drew Locke, Joe Flacco, Kendall Hinton, Brett Rypien, Jeff Driskel. Real, wow.
Bar's low.
That is...
Bar's low.
Man, that's...
I appreciate...
That's some prognostication.
I appreciate Chris feeling that way.
Yeah.
But
you know what I have a bigger problem
with? It's not hard to feel that way.
Peyton Manning was not a prospect.
No, he was a free agent, an established Super Bowl winning quarterback.
He was a done deal.
Hall of Famer.
So
he was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. What's our best prospect since Peyton Manning, who was 14 years into a Hall of Fame career.
I understand what he's trying to say.
I get best it. I was just
potential quarterback, but yeah, not what I call a prospect. Yeah. No. But a guy that is a quarterback prospect, and we've seen him play here in Grand Junction, John Motoka, former Colorado School of Mines quarterback, NCAA all-time leader in total touchdowns, Harlan Hill Award winner, which is the Division II equivalent, the Heisman, took the Ore Diggers to the national championship game back-to-back years, that on Sunday, he signed a rookie free agent contract with the Denver Broncos. There's some talk that they may put him at wide receiver. He says he's never played wide receiver. There was the Julian Edelman comparison because Edelman played quarterback. Was it Kent State where he played?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, where he played quarterback in college and was moved to wide receiver. Motoka's like, hey, I'll do whatever. He knows that he's only 5'11". And that he said, I can't do anything about that, but I'm going to show them I can throw the football. He's going to go in initially as a quarterback, but there's the chance that they could, because he's obviously a very good runner, that they could move him to playing wide receiver. What about he gets into camp and starts really impressing people? Are they going to give him a fair shot? Probably not, because they just spent a first-round pick on Bo Nix. But wouldn't that be interesting if John Motoka, who we've seen play, guy can throw the football.
Yeah.
But he goes into camp, and they give him a fair shake to see what he can do. Probably not. Probably they'll say, you know, Division II Harlan Hill winner, that's great. How would you like to play a wide receiver? 5'11", 180. But it'd be kind of interesting to see if they give him much of an opportunity to show what he can do.
If he was 6'200", he would probably be the starter because Sean Payton loves Drew Brees.
Brees wasn't that. He wasn't. Was he 6'2"?
He was 6 foot.
Yeah, he just had 6 foot even, yeah.
So, and I don't know. That's just a lack of want-to. I can't change that. Well, doesn't sound like you're committed, son.
But Motoka's got a deal with the Toronto Argonauts already. He's also a software designer. He's already got that job that he's currently doing. So it's John Matoka's in a good spot.
He's doing all right.
Whatever's going to happen, he'll be just fine.
Yeah, he doesn't have to pick up a shovel and a pickaxe.
Much as I don't like rooting for a rival of CMU, I'm rooting for John Matoka in this one.
Yeah, he's no longer a rival.
He's no longer.
Thank God.
He now plays for my favorite professional football team. Mm-hmm. Out of the RMAC, four consecutive RMAC championships. I'm hoping John Matoka can, maybe impress Sean Payton. Who knows?
It would make the summer really interesting.
It would. That this undrafted guy from the Division II RMAC goes into camp.
Mm-hmm. And is playing better than the prized possession of Bo
exactly. Nicks. Better than the 12th overall pick in the draft.
Just tells you how poor the quarterback situation was beforehand.
Not that I want Bo Nicks to fail, because I don't. I want Bo Nicks to thrive and succeed. It would just be fun to see John Matoka go in there and impress some people. So for those that are waiting for Shedeur Sanders next year in Broncos country, because you know that you know in your heart of hearts you feel like Bo Nicks is going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
That Shedeur Sanders is no longer the betting favorite to be the first overall pick in the draft coming up next year. Georgia quarterback Carson Beck is now the favorite to be picked over Sanders. Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers is third, followed by Miami quarterback Cameron Ward. Penn State quarterback Drew Allar is after him. And so the non-quarterbacks with the shortest odds to go number one are his Shedeur Sanders teammate Travis Hunter, who of course plays cornerback and wide receiver. Also saw this on Pro Football Talk. Dallas Cowboys are always interesting with Stephen Jones. He's got this new phrase that he's working, that he's trying to work on. That earlier this year, Jerry Jones declared the Cowboys are all in for the 2024 offseason. So that didn't really happen. So now Executive Vice President Stephen Jones, Jerry's boy, basically says they don't need to go all in because they're already close to winning it all with what they have. So he did an interview on satellite radio, and he now uses the phrase, "We're hanging around the rim." I think that that's right at the top in the terms of teams what have done over a three-year period of what they've already done. And you know, we're hanging around the rim. We've just got to go up there and grab it, to use a basketball term, and dunk it in. We're hanging around the rim. We just got to get the job done.
That is the oldest, pastiest basketball reference I've ever heard. We're hanging around the rim. Who says dunk anymore? We just got to go up and slam dunk the ball through the rim. Now, I mean, get a ladder and get it out of the
basket. I've heard you say
dunk.
I say dunk, but slam dunk.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, he could not make it sound any more awkward. Hey, let's just go get and slam dunk it home and get it out of the peach basket with a ladder.
And I'll agree.
Your shorts are way too long.
I'll agree with Pro Football Talk here. The 49ers are hanging around the rim. They've got two Super Bowl appearances and two NFC Championship appearances in the last 5 years. That's hanging around the rim. Right. That's
and it's
close.
Hanging off the rim. It's not like if he... Never
mind. You got to get to the NFC Championship game, Steven.
Right. Get the ball into the front court maybe first before you start hanging around the rim.
Learn how to dribble.
Yeah. Like, take a jump shot instead of a set shot before you start thinking you're above the rim.
You can
barely get the ball inbounds.
I just love this. We're hanging around the rim. What, the toilet rim? Is that the rim you're hanging around? Well, then, okay. Then you're right about that. You have to get to the NFC Championship game, dude. That's hanging around. That's being close. We're so close.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners are so close.
That is the dumbest basketball saying since Kobe, when people throw stuff at a trash can.
Anyway.
It is one of the, it's one of the dumbest things the Jones family has ever said.
And they've, and Jarrett said a lot of dumb things.
That's a high bar.
Said a lot of dumb things.
Good thing the kid is able to fulfill his dad's lofty standards. We're hanging around the rim.
That's what we're doing. We're so close.
We just need a leader.
We're just so close. This will be the year that Dak gets it done.
More and more, he starts to sound like the old rich Texan from The Simpsons. I half expect the press conference to end with, yeehaw!
Pistols out. All right, 8:25. And it's time to play Triple Play Records Stadium Cinema.
New York sports TV shows and movies. Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
Yes, up for grabs today. It is the Downtown Double Play with Triple Play. $20 gift certificate to Triple Play Records, downtown Grand Junction. And a small antipasto salad courtesy of our friends at Junction Square Pizza. First correct answer on the tie. I need a drink, sorry.
Go ahead.
A little something in my throat.
Thought we'd play the Tyler Franzen drink.
Yeah, no kidding. First correct answer on the text line, text only, 970-242-1340, gets the prize. Don't have to, there's no age limit since it's disc golf or records or vinyl or whatever.
Cool t-shirt, and whatever.
An antipasto, absolutely cool t-shirt. And an antipasto salad. If you want any time in the last 2 weeks, including earlier this morning, sit it out. You are still within your moratorium. And it is the first correct text to identify this sports-related movie.
Mr. Commissioner, I just don't want you to have this specific balloon. They're all basically the same.
There you go. First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340. Gets it the Downtown Double Play with Triple Play.
All right. So
you know exactly what it is, don't you? You should.
Yes, I believe I do.
You tout the greatness of this movie a lot.
Okay. Yes, I... Can you play one more time?
Yeah.
Mr. Commissioner, I just don't want you to have this specific balloon. They're all basically the same.
The music gives it away, I feel.
Okay.
Or at least the era.
I think I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 8:27. Coming up next, I had the chance to talk with Drew Goodman yesterday. Drew is, of course, the TV voice of the Colorado Rockies, but he'll also be the keynote speaker at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series Banquet. That conversation coming up on the other side of the break. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the team.
Joining us right now, he'll be the speaker at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series Banquet. He's the TV voice of the Colorado Rockies, been doing that since 2002. Drew Goodman joins us. Drew, always a pleasure. Thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you all on the Western Slope. It's been a while.
I think we are talking, it's been probably, what, mid-90s? Probably 95, 96, when you came over here with the late, great Herb Brown and called it on Prime Sports back in the day. It's been a while since you've been to Sam Saplesio Field.
Yeah, I have a lot of fond memories. You mentioned Sam Saplesio Field. I have a ton of fond memories of spending a great deal of time with Sam when he was with us and being at his house for those epic parties at the conclusion of the Junior College World Series, and also some great memories with Irv on the air. And you know, two guys were Colorado legends and one of a kind in their respective fields.
And Jamie Hamilton did bring up some of the home run derbies that you guys used to have. And you would jump in there, and he said, you know, Drew was knocking out of the ballpark like the rest of the guys. It was kind of a cool thing you did back then with the home run derbies with some of the production crew and some of the members of the JUCO committee.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, it took me back to I was much closer to my playing days of college and high school than I was than I would be now, shall we say. But I still love to swing the bat when I get the chance. And I had three boys that play, and then one is still playing in college. So it's always fun to participate as opposed to just talking about it.
Absolutely. Drew Goodman with us today. And Drew, you've always been a strong proponent of the series. I know you've had Jamie Hamilton up in the Rockies broadcast booth talking about it when he's been over in Denver.
Kind of take me through, while it's been a while since you've been here, why you have such a strong connection and strong feeling about this particular baseball tournament.
Well, one of the things that first struck me was the outpouring of support from the community. And that would continue even if the local team was, you know, removed from the tournament, had lost in the tournament. There was, it may be larger now, but my recollection was it was about 9,000 every night. And they took these, young men embrace them, if you will. And I think every faction of the community kind of supported, one team jumped on board with a particular, a Howard or a Fan Jack or whatever school it was. And, they rode them out throughout the tournament. And just to see the community and how important baseball was and how important, collegiate athletics, was to the community. It really struck me, and it was a blast to be, a very small part of and kind of, televised it back then. So that was my initial reaction, and it's just a great part of the country also. And, I'm from New York originally, but I've spent close to 40 years now in the States. I'm an adopted Coloradan, and, we've seen Grand Junction, grow tremendously over the years. So, it will always, whenever I go through there, it always, holds a special place for me.
Drew Goodman with us today on the Team Sports Network. When we talk about the Junior College World Series and the impact of JUCO baseball players on Major League Baseball, there are so many guys over the years, the Craig Kimbrels, the Curt Schillings, the Jay Buhners, Jose Rosado, those with the Kansas City Royals, and of course, Bryce Harper, who was, one of the biggest name probably, and along with the late, great Kirby Puckett, naturally, one of the biggest names to ever play in the series. What, in your opinion, how strong has been the impact of junior college baseball on Major League Baseball?
Oh, it's been enormous. It's been enormous. Every day that I'm doing a game, I look across the biographical sketches of everybody that participates. And frequently, you will see, junior college ties to guys that are in the big leagues. Either they began their collegiate career at a junior college and were drafted out of that junior college and began their journey, or they utilized the junior college route to then head to a four-year institution and then ultimately ended up becoming a professional. But you see it every single day in what I do. When I'm looking at biographical sketches of the various players, the junior college baseball is huge. In fact, I'm still on the coaching staff at Arapahoe High School, on this side of the hill, if you will. And I work with kids and try to point them in directions to play college baseball. And for a lot of them, the best route is the junior college route for a variety of reasons, playing time, working on one skill. Sometimes it's an academic reason, but other times it's an affordability reason. You want to play and you want to get certain credits out of the way, go play junior college baseball. So there's a variety of reasons. And I know that's a long-winded answer, but I see it every day as I prepare to broadcast a major league game.
Drew Goodman, TV voice of the Colorado Rockies, with us. He'll be the keynote speaker at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series Banquet. Without blowing too much of it up here, because we want your speech to be certainly fresh and a surprise to those that are attending the banquet, give us a little snippet of what you've kind of thought about already in terms of what you want to say, maybe in particular, Drew, to those young players that'll be there.
Well, one of the foundations of what I try to pass along to young players is how difficult the game is and how fortunate they are to play it and to embrace it and not to get overwhelmed with the numbers in the game. And we all strive for success and we all want results. And baseball is a team sport, certainly like no other, in that you really have to put process in front of results, because one of my familiar refrains to kids is, guess what? Nobody in here is going to hit 1,000. Nobody's going to field 1,000. And we have to remember that. And I also pass that on, quite frankly, to coaches. A lot of times coaches, when we're 10, 15, 20 years removed from playing, no matter how good a player you were at whatever level you played, you forget how tough the game is. And that what may look like a routine ground ball to short, there's a variety of reasons why, you know, the ball's not fielded cleanly or the throw to first, you know, is offline. So it's really important to remember that. And that's one of the foundational pieces of what I like to pass along to young people.
Drew Goodman with us on the Team Sports Network. He'll be the keynote speaker at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. So with the Rockies right now, it's been a struggle. There's no doubt about that, Drew. It's been a difficult start to the season. I guess just your thoughts, because certainly I think at times we've seen good starting pitching from this team. Maybe the run support hasn't been there, but at times we've seen that. We've also seen good efforts in the bullpen. There's a lot of young bats in this lineup that are just still kind of learning their way at the big league level. There's a lot of things, unfortunately, good and bad right now with this, you know, this Rockies baseball team in 2024.
Yeah, you know, there's no sugarcoating it. It's been an awful start. It's been a very disappointing start. Not that the expectations were that the Rockies were going to contend for a division title. They're in a transitionary phase. They're trying to raise around them a young, talented group of players, some that are already here and others that are coming in the next couple of years, hopefully, that will be the foundation for a winning team. And when you're going through that process, there's a lot of pain at times. And so this first, 5-6 weeks of the season has been painful. One of the, I think, biggest disappointing aspects of it is how poorly they've hit, and there's no getting around that. You know, Billy Schmidt was quoted as saying that, you know, just the other day. I mean, they have not swung the bat at all. And so it's put a heavier burden on the pitching staff, and there has been some, you know, good moments. Cal Quantrill, for instance, has thrown the ball by and large pretty well. Austin Gomber threw the ball very well the other day in Pittsburgh, but runs have been really scarce outside of a couple of games. So, you know, as these guys get more seasoned, I'm excited about Jordan Bat. I mean, he's a kid and he's getting an opportunity. Brenton Doyle's made great strides from a year ago offensively. You know, Ezekiel Tovar, I think, is going to be a star-level player. So there are stories, but we're watching them be written in real time. And it goes back to what I just said to you a few moments ago. Baseball can be really painful. And, it doesn't always happen overnight, but I do like the accumulation of talent that they have. We'll watch as the process takes hold. But right now, it's been tough.
All right, that's Drew Goodman. He'll be the speaker at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series Banquet, and that is May 24th at Grand Junction Convention Center. And you can stop by the JUCO office in the Home Loan Building downtown to get your JUCO banquet tickets for Drew Goodman. We'll be speaking at this year's banquet. And of course, you can catch every game right here on the Team Sports Network. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye boys, still looking for a winner today for Triple Play Records Stadium Cinema. So you want to play the clip again?
Mr. Commissioner, I want you to have this specific loon. They're all basically the same.
The star of this film?
Mm-hmm.
An NBA great.
Stellar nickname.
One of the best nicknames in all of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Had his poster when I was a kid. Did not play
still
for
have
me.
It now, actually, I think. If I remember your office correctly.
Probably.
Laying tacked on the ceiling.
Yeah.
The movie poster, actually, is...
Yeah, exactly. That did not play for my favorite team, but was one of my favorite players growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of any other clues I can give. The first lady from the West Wing.
Stalker Channing?
Is in this film.
I didn't know that.
So I can't say what the role is.
I've only seen enough of this movie to get that clip.
So a couple of, I guess, clues for you on the film.
Yeah. Gentlemen of a certain generation should be able to get this.
Yes. Is it one of the all-time great sports movies? Nah. No, it's not. No, it's
not. Undoubtedly not.
No, it's not. Also, one of the all-time great comic legend was in this movie, who was also in the TV show Mork and Mindy. He was also in this movie as well.
Really?
Yes.
Are we thinking of the same person?
Maybe not.
I had no idea.
Maybe not. Former Harlem Globetrotter great is in this movie. Guy that recently was the all-time leading scorer in NBA history was in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, intrigue.
But the guy that's a star, though, is the one with one of the greatest nicknames of all time.
The guy they have that was named, he's got a ton of great movies named after him, was in this movie as well. He's no relation to the movies or the character in them, but he's famous.
So he has the same name as a famous character.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I know you're talking
about. The character is arguably way more famous than this guy is.
Yes. Because you're going, who is this guy?
Yeah. I don't know who this guy is.
All right. 844. There's some clues for you, okay?
Yeah.
The star of the film had one of the greatest names in NBA history, one of the greatest nicknames ever. The guy that was the all-time leading scorer in NBA history is in this film. Stockard Channing, who played Martin Sheen's wife, the first lady in West Wing, is in this movie. And one of the all-time great comedians who was in Mork and Mindy.
Mm-hmm.
Was not the star of Mork and Mindy.
No.
But he was in Mork and Mindy. Is also in this movie. So send in your answer right now. If you won earlier today, don't play. If you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Simple as that.
One of the members of Spinal Tap is in this movie.
Oh, I'm trying to look at the cast here because I do not remember.
He's got last billing on Wikipedia, so he may be just like in the background.
There's actually two great comic legends in this movie. The one that was in Mork and Mindy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jerry Tarkanian's in this film.
He's not the comic legend of which we're talking about.
No. There was two. One was on Mork and Mindy. The other one had his own TV series in the 70s. Okay, yeah, okay. Now I remember. Yeah,
we got a winner.
Okay, I remember him now being in this. All right, so we got a winner.
Yes, we do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Ron, after being bludgeoned over the head with clues, correctly guesses the fish that saved Pittsburgh.
They became the Pittsburgh Pisces after they were something else. And Dr. J was the star of the movie. Played Moses Guthrie. Metal Lark Lemon was in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Winters, who played Mork and Mindy's son.
Yeah.
Jonathan Winters was in it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm-hmm.
James Bond III is who you're referring to. Played Tyrone Millman. He was the kid that I think goes out and gets Dr. Channing, who's the psychic, she pairs the players with Moses Guthrie that are of compatible astrological signs. That's how they put this team together. Debbie Allen's in this movie. I forgot that she was in it. But Harry Shearer. Marv Albert.
Chick Hearn.
They mentioned Jerry Tarkanian's in it. Chris Ford, the played for the Celtics. Another great, Connie Hawkins, the Hawk.
Yeah. Michael Thompson was in this movie.
Yeah, there's a
Cornbread Maxwell.
Yeah, there's a ton of people in this film.
Spencer Haywood.
It was not a very good movie.
No, it doesn't look like it.
Flip Wilson, who I was referring to, the other great comedian that was in it. Flip Wilson was in it. So there you go.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's a good movie.
No, it's
1979.
Yeah.
Right in time for Christmas.
Ninth grade.
Ooh.
Had the soundtrack and everything. It's not the theater.
Bought the soundtrack. Ugh.
Had the cassette. Come on, man.
Yeah. Steve, slam dunk Ernest. That's hilarious.
There's the scene where Moses Guthrie is on the playground and he's trying to impress the woman. I think she's, I don't know if she's a reporter or something. The love interest. And he got this do-do-do-do, take it back. It's very, you know, Motown, 70s sounding song. Well, he's dunking, reverse dunking. And they're going, I wish I could do that. But alas, I could not. All right, 8:48. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We will take a break. We'll come back. And up next, it's pole dancing right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
They what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
We got it together, didn't we?
All right, coming to the stage, yeah. It's Amber. We remember, everybody, $14 kamikaze.
Let me ask you a question. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I?
I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
Get those dollar bills out. It's time for pole dancing.
I can easily feel myself slipping more and more waves.
Felsky and myself, it's pole dancing, where we have our top five things the Nuggets need to do to get themselves back into the series against Minnesota. Are you ready? You got any music to go along with this? Or
I might be. I don't know if I have Round Ball Rock for the NBA.
Well, I will just start.
Okay.
And then hopefully you'll have it, and I'll just go five through one.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to start at number five. Bench has to be more of a factor than what it's been. Minnesota's bench has been absolutely killing the Nuggets in this series. Absolutely been killing them. Where you have Naz Reid, who's been absolutely sensational. 16 points in game one. He had 14 in game two. Reid's been really good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Denver's bench hasn't done much of anything, really. Holiday had 13 points last night, but Christian Brown had 7 in game one. Bench has got to be a bigger factor. That's number five. No, I'm just going to go five through
okay,
one.
Go ahead.
So I need to do yours. KCP and MPJ have to be more. They got to do more.
Yeah.
Then, particularly, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You've got to score more than 4 points. Number three, defense has to get, it must improve. The defense by the Nuggets has been really bad in the first two games of this series. Also, number two, Nikola Jokic got to cut down on the turnovers. The two games in this series, the worst stretch of turnovers in any two-game stretch in his career. And then number one, Jamal Murray's got to figure it out. I get he's playing with the calf injury, throwing the heat pad on the floor last night, then threw a towel on the floor. Don't act like a damn fool. I get it. You've struggled in the playoffs shooting the basketball. Minnesota's made it tough on you. But Jamal Murray's got to find some way. If he doesn't get suspended
right
for game three, he's got to find a way to figure this all out.
You got
to
act like a grown-up.
You know, whether you think Denver should look at trading him down the road or whatever, they're right now, here in the present, they've got to have something close to playoff Jamal.
Right. And my five through one, a couple of them are mean-spirited, so just bear with me. Number five, the other guys have to play better. That's Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., KCP, etc. Outside of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, everybody else has to play better. Because it's not that just Jamal Murray is playing bad. Everybody else not named Nikola Jokic is playing poorly, and even the Joker, too. Number four, Jamal Murray gets ruled out for games 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. That's unfair, but also I think that might help them. Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns cool off. It's nothing to do with the Nuggets, but that might be the only way they get into this series. The Joker just wills them to a series win, just drags them across the finish line. That's number two. And number one way they'll get back into this series is they won't.
Thanks for the optimism there, Sport. Game three, Friday night right here on the Team.